and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day
305.
How are we all doing? Simon was first. Isn't that 2 days running, Simon? Oh, my word. Where on earth's Jonathan? He's MIA. Oh, maybe he's got locked in his iPulu from last night. Hello, Simon. Hello, Sarah. Oh, and Mike thought he was second, but you're not. You're third.
I'm third, yeah.
Keep trying, Mike.
Yeah.
And who else have we got? Right, Simon and Mrs. Simon want to drive to Yorkshire for a snowball fight. Is that essential? Probably. You might as well. Everybody else is. Just go for it, Simon. What's the fine? Is the fine worth it?
Johnny's not coming.
Jonathan!
He's posted on Slack. He's got a Zoom quiz, meaning at Mike or at Simon will no doubt steal my crown and be first. Good luck to you all and catch you tomorrow for Touche.
How much have you been drinking?
I'm drunk for a week or two even.
Can you see what he's like?
Yeah.
He's been drinking, even weeks after.
There's a bottle of wine with my name on it somewhere. Catch you all tomorrow for Two Show Friday.
Right. Well done, Mike. Well done.
Yeah.
CQ Deb, CQ, hello, Kim. A quiz. I mean, honestly, who could he have better on his side than us lot? Oh, he'd ace the quiz. Really, Jonathan. Never mind. Oh, now, Mrs.
Yeah, but
Simon,
if it's on Zoom, then he couldn't be seen to be sneaking away and looking at the chat.
Yeah. Ah, but he could deploy his number one secret weapon. Do you remember when he was doing Zoom and he had his pants drying behind him?
Oh, yeah.
No one was looking at what he was doing. They were looking at his pants. It's all doable. Now, I was talking about Mrs. Simon. Seriously unimpressed with the lack of snow. We've not got much, have we?
We haven't got any.
I think there was a couple of flakes about 1 o'clock in the morning and that was it. So no, we've not got any either.
We've got a lot of rain.
But they did say on the late news, which is obviously, you know, their lips are moving, they're lying. Oh, it'll be really heavy snow in the northwest of England. Yeah, right. I think they mean the northwest of Scotland. But never mind. No, we've not got any. Wasn't wrong with his prediction. He's like Mystic Meg. He was enthused by the last MacBytes, if you remember. Mystic Meg. Oh, Sarah's not got any either. Do you get snow that often, Sarah? It seems to be a kind of Scotland come... Mind you, we did have a bit. That's probably the first year in quite a while we've had it more than one day. But I wouldn't have thought you got as much down there, but that could just be me. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? I think we can safely say, Paul, not going to have snow.
No.
No. But then neither of the rest of us. But then Paul's got decent weather and we haven't. We lose out all ends up, don't we?
We had snow last week.
I know we had snow last week, but now it's freezing and raining and there's no snow. And the dog's disgusted because every time she goes out, she gets wet, which means when she comes back in, she's got to be dried. So if she had a mobile phone, she'd be onto the RSPCA about it.
Where is she?
She disappeared outside. Then she came back in, realised she wasn't going to get another treat and disappeared again. It's all right, she'll be back. She's got her eye on that dentist stick and she hasn't had it yet. She has had half a rodeo stick. Now, this usually means snapping the rodeo stick in half, but oh no, no. Somehow in this bag of deformed rodeo sticks, a rodeo stick is like two bits of chew wrapped round each other. So it looks like a spiral. Somebody had stolen the other half. So she only... Instead of it having two things wrapped around each other, it just had the one. She's disgusted.
Disgusted from sale.
Our Paul says snow very unlikely at any time. Yeah, you've got decent weather. I've seen pictures of it. Disgusting. Well, we're freezing. And it's pitch black, but never mind.
Paul, did you hear your request on Saturday night? For the, what was it called? Kazali or something.
Kazali.
Kazali.
Because I said Kazali.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's Kazali.
So we played it for you and we played it for Liana, who's one of our Aussie friends.
It was quite early in the morning though, wasn't it?
Who wrote on Facebook, did you see it?
No.
and said, thanks for including Ryan and Evan in the news. They were dead excited to hear their names.
That's so cool. Oh, now you see Seattle's sounding more appealing by the minute. You can be in the 40s and then drive for 45 minutes to ski. Not that I'd fancy skiing, but I do like snow. So snowballing, I'd definitely travel for snowballing.
And then after it, I played Come On, Aussie, Come On.
Ah, you know what you're doing. So, no, they've not got snow, Sarah, but when they do, you can't get home. So please to work from home. Road is really steep with either a house or river at the bottom. Normally the house takes it. Do you know, I used to live in this hideous village. And there was like three parts to it. And it was there was a pecking order. And the poshest bit was built on the side of a hill. And the ones at the top were fine. But the ones that were like halfway down, the road was like flat. But if you can imagine that on one side of it, you had a house that was at the bottom of an incline of about 45 degrees. And then on the other side of the road, you had a house that was up an incline of about 45 degrees. There were so many accidents when it was snowy. I mean, why would you build houses like that? Let me see if I can find a Google doodah of it. I'm trying to think now what the road was called. Ooh. Might even find my old house. Right. Let's try. Well, I know where it is. So if we do it by moving out and then zooming in. Where on earth are we here? Little Bollington. That was it. Down there it was. There we go. Somewhere down there. Just need to find. Was it Edgerton? That was it. Edgerton, I think. It didn't have a road or a street after it. It was just called Edgerton. Right, was that the one? Oh, that's a little bit, but I thought there was more of an incline. Let's move up and see if there is more of an incline. Or maybe it's on the next one up, because that's flat. Shall we see what the next one up's called? No, that's definitely too flat. Do you know, looking at these houses now, they don't look as posh as they used to. Let's see if it's up the next one. Oh, good grief. I've never done this. I have never actually, you know, like rewalked where I used to live. Right, what's that one called? See if it's that one. Can't quite see. It must be there. Oh, hang on. This is looking hopeful. Yes, the houses are starting to dip. And somewhere up an embankment. While here we go, I think. What's it called? Gleave. You couldn't make this stuff up. Right, is it there? Not as steep as I'm remembering. There must be another one. Oh, this is crazy. But literally built on like the side of a mountain, basically. I'm sure my friend didn't live at Gleave. I wonder if it could be Robert Moffat. Literally, this is not a road like, you know, Smith Street. This is actually called Robert Moffat. And that is ringing a bell. So I'm reckoning my friend lived on Robert Moffat. Let's have a look if it is. Good grief. I've not seen this place in years. Wow, it looks different. I would have biked round here for years. And like, you know, if somebody had shown me a picture, I would not have recognised it. I would not have recognised it. And there's a dip in the road here as well. Must be round here somewhere. This is a windy thing. I only remember about 10 houses on this. Must be me. Crazy beans. Kim can see snow-covered mountains from the neighbourhood. Always brings a smile. I actually saw, I can't remember where it was. Could be down Texas way somewhere, in one of the true crime things. And they showed you this city. And it did look, you know, fairly big. But it was as flat as a pancake. And wherever they'd taken the video from, you could see the entire city. And then in the distance, you could see mountains. It was that flat. We just don't have that here, do we?
No.
I know, like, your roads are really straight as well, and ours aren't. But this was really strange to look at. It looked like a model village to me. Because, I mean, just looking at this map thing where I'm trying to find where my friend used to live, I don't even recognise it. And it's uphill and down dale and bending around corners and all kinds of stuff. It was a huge, huge city, though. I wish I could remember which one. I shall take notes next time. There we go. Hello, Tracy. How are you doing?
Tracy can see snowy mountains from the kitchen and the bathroom. Isn't that the Pyrenees? We've had this discussion before, I think.
Oh, Kim told her mum all about the smart toilet. We had a good laugh for about half an hour. Is she in the market for an Ipulu? I wonder what's been announced today at CES. I shall have a look in a moment. I think the only place I've seen that, I think Jonathan can see it. You know the pictures of his flat where you can see the Etihad? In the distance, you can see the hills, which are probably the peaks. You say it's Peak District? Is there any hills here before the Peak District?
Don't think so.
There are two, like, roads that go across this thing. And it's a perilous journey, put it like that. So there is always a lot of snow up there. So I think that's what Jonathan can see from his main living room, I think. Where are all these weirdy houses on a hill? I'm going to need to go back and have another look. Surely there's not another road. Glebe and Robert Moffat, and then there was Pheasant's Walk. Now, remember Pheasant's Walk? Oh, Pheasant's Walk was incredibly posh. Literally like £5 million houses. Utterly, utterly ridiculous. Well, it clearly wasn't Edgerton.
Simon wants a Japanese toilet.
Apparently, they're fabulous.
Kim told us all about Japanese toilets.
There's my house when I was a kid. You sit the other way around. What have they done with it? Good grief, it looked fabulous when we left it. Now it just looks weird. We moved in to let me see if I can share this. It's a hideous URL. But if I shorten it, let's try shortening it. Right, there's four houses. Ours is the second from the right, that's right in the middle of this photo. This is what it looked like when it was brand new. It looked fabulous because people have put hedges up since and all kinds of weird stuff. And it looks so tatty, but it looked lovely when it was new. So that's the house I spent 2.5 years in. It now looks hideous. Absolutely hideous. It's shocking to think they were new in 1976, 76, 77. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you look at the road now and you're thinking it's a dead end. It's a cul-de-sac. So why is it full of potholes? You're not having people careering around there. They mustn't have been dealt with since we moved in. Honestly, that is shockingly poor. Used to be beautiful and now it looks absolutely half derelict. Not good. Not good. And people seem to have what look like greenhouses stuck on the outside of their houses. That will be to cover up the fact that if you look at the bins, which you can see there, that was the house that had the bin store at the front. Now, I'm not sure if I can actually... Can't get past all those... We can a bit. They've taken the bin store away. It was to the right of the bin, of the door. And obviously the new bins don't fit in the bin store. And the bin store was actually built into the house. So every single house has had to have the bin store removed. It was brick, for crying out loud. On the house next door with what looks like a greenhouse stuck to the front of it, you can actually see where the brickwork's been changed, where that's been taken away. Oh, I would say happy times there, but no, I didn't enjoy it one little bit. The house was fine. The rest of the actual place, not so much. But there you go. You're just getting a map, no house. Not good. Okay.
That's 2 weeks on the run.
What is?
that leeks haven't been available at Tesco's.
Oh, good grief. Mass leak problem. Right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take...
I shall be having words with Wendy.
Oh!
Name for the show. Words with Wendy.
Get it written down.
Words with Wendy.
Right, I'm taking a screenshot. Let's see if that works. There we go.
MacBites.
It's the house between the red garage and the black one, with the dead hedge at the front. We didn't have any of that. Mum had there was like a path that went straight down to the front door. There was grass on either side of it and a little white picket fence around it. It looked lovely. With the bin store, underneath the... Well, they've actually got like a postage box thing stuck to the side of the house. Is there something wrong with having a letterbox? But that's where the bin store was, just underneath there. You can actually see it on the house next door, which does look derelict with that thing on the front. But that hedge, why would you leave it there when it's dead? I mean, even I can see. I've never managed to kill a hedge, have I?
No.
It's not difficult to keep a hedge alive. That one does look totally dead. Oh, dear. East of Denver is some of the flattest land you've ever seen. It was just like a model. And I think because you could actually see the entire city, it looked smaller than it probably was because of these huge mountains in the distance. I was fascinated. There's no city here, with a possible exception of somewhere in Norfolk, which is fairly flat, but you wouldn't have the kind of size of city. There's just no way you could take a photo like that and it look anything like that. We must be built on sort of hills that we're not even notice. Although there is that hill in town, isn't there? I couldn't actually navigate you to it now. But I used to do a 2-hour driving lesson. Most people did one, but I would do a 2-hour one. Get used to sort of driving for 2 hours rather than like 50 minutes. So we could go further, and the driving instructor absolutely loved it. So he said, I've got somewhere to take you. Bit of a hill start. And no, actually, he didn't say hill start. He said, I've got somewhere to take you. Because we always used to challenge each other with places. So I challenged him. Or did I do that after? Probably after. So he says, I've got a challenge for you. And we drove into the centre of Manchester. Went all round these roads. And then he said, take a right. I took a right and there was this hill. And I've never seen a hill as steep as this. And it was cobbled. We got about 3/4 of the way up and he said, pull over on the left. So I did, innocently. And then he said, right, hill start. He turned the engine off and then he said, right, hill start. And I looked at this. It was like the north face of the Eiger. I did it, but oh, good grief. So then I got to challenge him. So I said, sail. And he said, there's nothing challenging in sale. I said, you haven't seen it yet. So I said, Tesco's car park. So we got to the entrance for this car park. Now, when they built it with what we used to call a whirligig. It was like a spiral to get into the car park and out of the car park. What puts you off is there's paint on the walls from people's cars. And as my dad got older, he was really nervy in there. My aunt just was a maniac. She was petrified. But they changed it so both of these spirals were for leaving the car park. So obviously you have to have very careful brake control and gear control to be able to navigate at a safe speed to get down this like ramp thing. And it was a very tight spiral. There was another one in Manchester City Centre, but nowhere near as tight as this one in Sale was. It was really actually built too small because then they made the cars bigger. So I said, Tesco's car park. And he thought the tricky part was going to be getting in it. He thought this car park, because he didn't live in Sale, was a standard car park that you would drive into, you know, square block thing, concrete construction, up the end, take a right, up the ramp, take a right and keep going. You know, rinse and repeat until you're at the top. So he said, I'll take the board off. I said, it's not the board that you're going to have to be worried about. But he took the big name thing off the top of the car, slung it on the back seat and said, right, go for it. So we went into the car park and I was fine getting up the thing to the very top level. So he said, there you go. Easy. That was no challenge. So as I was driving, I came out of the top level of this car park over a little bridge and ended up on the roof of Tesco's, where Tesco's had their car park. So I said, "Oh, ye of little faith." I said, "Now we're up here, how are we getting down?" And he went, "Well, you go back up." Oh, I said, "Yeah, it's one way." So he's looking round and he couldn't see how on earth you would get off Tesco's roof. So I said, "Leave it to me." So he gets over there and it was this spiral thing. Well, did he sit up in his seat then? He was hovering over the dual control brakes. I did actually make it down though. So I was quite happy with that. But he absolutely loved that. He had no idea it was there. And I was only with the guy for about 5 weeks. I passed my test within 6 weeks. I had a U2 concert as an incentive. If I didn't pass my test, my father was taking me. Oh, talk about incentive. So afterwards, I would see this guy in the car that I'd learnt to drive in. Every time I took my mum to Tesco's, I'd be sat in the car in Tesco's, usually reading a law book. And I'd glance up and this guy would be like edging past with a woman who's nervy going down there. He literally spent half his life in there after that. It's a beach hedge in autumn, it'll come back. But would you want your house to look like that? How long does it take? I mean, I wouldn't exactly say my garden is, you know, gardener's question time, but it doesn't look dead. At least everything's alive. Does it look fabulous when it's alive? Because that does not look good. No, not good. Oh, there's a picky. Right, let's have a look at the picky from Simon. Probably looks fabulous when it's alive. Let's have a look. Oh, no, see, that one looks quite nice. The one that's multicoloured. But it doesn't look good dead, does it? No, I think I would have gone for something perennial. Probably gone for it instead of a standard hedge. Next door's got a standard hedge and, you know, it's okay, but it doesn't exactly look great. Whereas our pyracantha, oh, dual purpose, looks amazing. Beautiful, beautiful flowers. And will cut you to shreds if you even so much as glance at it. Thanks, Mum. Oh, Kim's been watching All Creatures Great and Small, the new version. Do you know where that takes place? The land's so beautiful. Isn't it in Derbyshire? I'd guess Derbyshire. Let's have a look, see if we can find it. Great and Small. The Yorkshire Dales. So out that way. Let's have a look. Oh, there's actually a site called screenyorkshire.co.uk. And it's got all about it and all the filming locations. There we go. I will send you that. And you'll be able to read all about it. It is beautiful over there. Very quaint. People send letters to Loveland for Valentine's Day to get a special poster. That is so gorgeous. Oh, how cute. Isn't there a town somewhere in the States called Christmas, where it's Christmas 365 days a year? Or was that a movie that I saw and it's not real? Let me know. Your caps aren't working. Simon has no problem with caps, do you, Simon? Photo makes it look worse. It does. It's not like a rich autumn colour fest. It just looks dead. Maybe it's the rest of the stuff that doesn't look, that isn't adding to it either. I just, you know, when I look back, they've actually cut off half of the garden. So there's like a triangle of concrete there. That was half the garden. So there was a lawn on either side with a path right up the middle. And the path was bricked in from the beginning. So they've obviously move that, so you've got to walk around. How weird. Just looks weird by comparison to what that was like then. The one thing I'm thinking is I can't remember. I think we just had a door. I'm wondering about that side panel, but the others have got the side panel, so maybe the side panel was there. But that's obviously not the same door. That window, the top right window, that was my bedroom. There's a bathroom downstairs with a window on the left and a bathroom upstairs, window on the left. The one on the right below is the kitchen. But I had that front bedroom for a while and the back bedroom that was straight onto it. But no, I didn't enjoy life there. Another thing that's pretty weird is I'm turning around and I'm looking at it, and it looks like one of the houses has built an extension, and there's a pavement, but there used to be a grassed area there with a tree on it. That's gone. Oh, it does. It looks hideous. It looks hideous to what it used to look like. Put it like that. I'm loving the cap, Simon. Screw Yorkshire. No! Screen! Honestly, Simon, your ears are about as good as Mike's teeth at the moment. Oh, fun and games. What's been going on at CES? That's what we need to know. CES provides hours of endless entertainment. What have they been announcing today? The hottest headphones and wireless earbuds. Now, you see, that's a bit weird to me, because that's not exactly innovative, is it? They've been out years. The annual showcase, as it happened. Oh, fabulous. Tunable glasses. You can adjust the lenses. That would actually be good, because sometimes I put my reading glasses on. I have three different strengths of reading glasses, depending on how the eyes are feeling. So that would actually be useful. But have we had no more silly toys? Oh, they're talking about 5G. Well, that's never going to happen, is it? PCs are here to stay as demand surges. So there's some kind of origami thing, a Chromebook. What else have we got? Oh, something about next-gen content creation. Oh, I'll have to have a read of that one. That one looks actually interesting. So I will have a read of that. You'd wear out the tuning mechanism on the glass. I probably would. Santa Claus in Indiana. I wonder if it was that one. It could have been. It could well have been. Now I'm thinking, was it that and not Christmas? That's cool. Did they have to... Was it always named that? Did they change it for, like, marketing purposes? Oh, Macadenville, North Carolina. I'm going to have to put these down on a list. Places I need to see. So I'll put it on my bucket list. Hello, Anthony. I'm going to look that one up. Santa Claus, that's so cool. I figured it'd be Yorkshire because I think that's where the whole thing was based, wasn't it? I have got those, I think. I think I recorded them. But when I installed my new machine, I haven't actually set the ITV up yet. And I haven't actually missed it. So it's saving me a ton of time on recording stuff and then whizzing through it, because I don't like watching the ads. But there was a very good drama on the other night. Did anybody watch the Pembrokeshire murders? I was well aware of the story, but even then I enjoyed it. Thought that was brilliant. Particularly the bit about Bullseye. What's a classic. Talk about hoisted by your own petard. It was about a set of murders in Pembrokeshire. Is that Wales? The Welsh border. But there was actually a whole range of seemingly unconnected cases that then got connected. But the team that worked on it for about over 18 months to get this conviction. The guy was actually in prison when they started. He said he was innocent of everything, but you know, clearly not. But the work that went into it, was stunning work that went into it. There's a Christmas in Michigan as well. Oh, I'm going to love this. I should be hopping from county to county, not county, state to state. I think I first saw it in a film. It'd be one of my mother's films, one of her 5,000 Christmas films. I just wish I could remember which one. But basically, there was a shop in the film, and it's in this town, and it's open. It sells Christmas stuff. That's all it sells. But it's open. It sells Christmas stuff every day of the year. I mean, I guess there are people who need Christmas stuff other than at Christmas. Maybe if you're doing a play or you're doing filming. But I don't know whether it's like a tourist attraction in the place or whether it's more functional than that. Don't know. It didn't say. Oh, I'm not seeing anything else that's, you know... Mind you, if you merge these products, like Sony is showing off its own drone, if you merge the drone story with the iPulu story, that'd be entertaining. There is one another one here about more toilet tech. So they've got exactly the same pictures as the other ones. But no, basically, it's all about touchless tech, which, you know, I don't know about you, but I do like to touch my tech. Things like doorbells that ring when somebody walks up to them rather than them actually having to touch it, which I guess I'd save my cleaning the handles and the doorbell every 2 minutes. But it just seems like a bit of a late response to it. I guess you could say the requirements to not touch stuff, or it being better not to touch stuff, has like driven the tech. But to some degree, we had that already. I mean, we generally speaking never have to have anybody ring the doorbell here, because I can see them arrive and I'll say, you know, Wendy's here or whoever's here. But I'm thinking the tunable glasses might be an idea. They're not exactly fabulous, though, when you look at them. They're very, very heavy frames in like a black with a grey at the bottom. Whereas mine are really lightweight, like metal and light brown at the front, but nowhere near as heavy as that lot. This pair have lasted me quite well because they usually last 5 minutes. I actually buy them in fives. And the other thing I do with them is just leave them somewhere. But this pair is the only pair that I've got like this. So I think I bought them when, you know, one of the last times we went out. And they're really light, really comfortable. Work well. And I'm like, I actually lost them a few weeks back. I said, where's my glasses? And Mike said, well, where did you have them? And I said, next to the bed. So we had the whole of the bed, all the sheets off the lot, the bedside table, they were not there. And I'm like, well, I had them on before I went to bed, so they can't have gone far. Anyway, they were missing in action for about 2 weeks. And then Mike completely stripped the bed, did under the bed, the whole works, and said, found the glasses. Anyway, they're back. So they're on my desk and I'm not parting with them. But I would be interested in tunable glasses. You could potentially tempt me with some tunable glasses. Oh, no, Kim's got a local shop that does Christmas all the time. We don't. But when the Christmas stuff starts, I would say now it's probably about half the year. Which is utterly ridiculous, but it is. Somebody went out on New Year's Day and came back cursing, saying, really? Are you serious? And the Easter eggs were out for sale. I mean, given the state of the entire world at the moment, the Easter eggs have been out for sales. Like, yeah, no, not this year. Can you make it a bit later? Because normally what happens is Valentine's Day is a huge thing here. So virtually every shop will have, you know, flowers, chocolates, gifts, cards, all for Valentine's Day. And I would say Easter normally starts the day after Valentine's Day. But this year they put them out on New Year's Day. What's wrong with Mike's teeth? We call it the Mac Bites teeth. What, when you literally fall over your words and you can't speak properly. So before, when he was talking about Two Show Friday, which came out as like, that's the Mac Bites teeth. Mac Bites teeth has its own Twitter account, you know. It's all the outtakes that I've got of Mike falling over himself. Oh, Lola's back. This means she's going to want her treat. She'll be flapping on and wanting her treat. Does she want her treat now?
Wants a treat now.
Dentistick time. We're going to need two paws for this. Yes. High fives. Both paws. You mesmerised.
Daddy.
Ah. High five. Good girl. Straight to it, desperate today. Smell it. No, just give it to me, mummy. She's literally just snatched it out of my hand and legged it with it. She is so cute. Now I'm covered in mud from the garden.
What's wrong with my teeth?
Oh, Anthony sold tunable glasses for years. Wow, I need these. Let me have a look at that link.
So what's wrong with my teeth?
And where, pray tell, are your outtakes? Oh, there's plenty of mine. Have you not heard me being in a vuvuzela in 2010? Oh, that was a classic. Oh, and then there was the one where I don't like notifications on my phone. So we're sat there recording a Mac Bites. And I would normally have my phone off, or at least on DND. But this particular day, Mum and Dad were away. And Mum said, I'll ring you. But she had no idea when. So I had no choice but to leave this phone on. So the phone's next to me and I am in full flow over something. I am mid-rant. And the phone's making a notification type noise. So I had to stop, basically mid-word. I picked the phone up and I looked at it, and it wasn't my mother. It was this woman, and I think she'd followed me on Facebook and Twitter or something, hadn't she?
Yeah.
A trainer. And she'd got this, like, hobby horse, the power of the mind. Literally everything she posted was the power of the mind. To the point it would drive a saint to drink. So me thinking it was my mother, grabbed this phone. And I saw it was this woman, and I was like, for crying out loud. I'm like, well, what? And I said, it's that woman. He said, what woman? And I couldn't remember her name, so I said, the power of the mind, woman. Anyway, the same day, so I puts the phone back down, carries on. The same day, obviously I'm still waiting for mum's call. I'm mid-flow again, and the phone rings. And I'm cursing and swearing. And I pick the phone up, and mid-rant, I say, hello, mum. This outtake's a classic with me absolutely losing the plot. But the second the phone's live with mum, sweet as pie. Hello, mum. You okay? When I'd finished the conversation, Mike's like, you two-faced. So there's plenty of outtakes of me. Never mind.
Yes, I couldn't say Two Show Friday, could I?
No, it was... It was more Sean Connery-ish, wasn't it? There are plenty of outtakes. Mike usually has a classic at the end, don't you? But you can follow me at twitter.com/... And anything but Thomas Mike. And then there's... It's written down, that bit. And obviously it's not the same every show, because we swap over who does it. So you have to move it around. And there's some shows, and I swear you would not think walking and talking were that difficult. Walking being the what you're doing and saying being what you're saying. So I call it a walk and talk demo. And Mike and I think nothing of doing a walk and talk demo. I mean, obviously, without that, there'd be no after hours. Because you are demonstrating and talking at the same time. In fact, that gets more complicated because I'm also producing and directing the thing. So I've got the production software on my machine as well. But I remember looking at what was written down. You should be able, shouldn't you? You know, your eyes should see it and think that's not right. And your brain should be able to, like, reword it. And your mouth should be able to say it. No. No. If it's written down in front of you what you like, I mean, Mike's actually sat there and said, and you can follow me at twitter.com/ElaineGiles before he's realised. Oh, recording a Mac Bites is always entertaining. Always. Oh, and then there was one where I put John Knack. John Knack,
oh, yes.
Used to work for... That was one that was like such a tiny mistake and it caused much frivolity. I can't even remember what we're saying about John Knack, but he was the head of photography at Adobe. He has since left and he now works for Google. He's head of Google Photos. But we were saying something about him, and in the recording notes, I'd put his name down and I hadn't noticed. So picture the scene. We're doing this recording and I'm just rattling away about John Knack, blah, 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 which is N-A-C-K. And Mike starts sniggering to himself and I'm like, what? What's going on? And he said, have you seen what you've actually written? And instead of John Knack, I'd put John Cack. Which I know, childish humour, but the two of us completely lost it.
No more childish than the sex app, is it?
No, and you started that.
No, Kim started that.
I do remember one that there was, well, I think we actually kept it in. It wasn't particularly an outtake, but we just, humour-wise, lost it.
No more.
You've had enough. You've had enough.
Good
off
girl.
You toddle. Which one am I thinking of?
He's settling here, if you like.
No, she's just like looking as though... I'm making my mind up whether to come in. I'll put my head in a bit more. I haven't got anything, so I'll show you. Look, my hands are empty like a magician.
If Johnny was here, he'd be on your side.
He would.
Saying you're starving.
Yes, he would, but he's not. He's abandoned you for a quiz. She's looked so sad. She's looking at the floor. Yes, we can blame Jonathan for the fact that you're starving. Oh, you crazy, crazy girl. Oh, what was that thing that we kept in, but we were just giggling at? Oh, I know. It was when the App Store on the phone, it was must have been 2008 to 2009. And you know, like when it was like a gold rush for apps, if it was like everybody's ambition, make an app, put it in the App Store, make a million.
Stop it.
I mean, clearly 10 years on, we know that's not the case. But back then, there were a million of these apps. And there was also a thing, wasn't there, in podcasting about keeping the clean tag. Mm. And you're never quite sure. I mean, obviously, I could give you ideas of things that you can't say if you want to keep the clean tag. But Apple were being like really stringent with things. And it was like, well, how are we going to explain this app? And it was, we were looking at one particular app, which was a genre of app. So what had happened was this app was released and then everybody made a clone of this app. And it was how to describe what it did, because I can't even remember what it was called. Can you?
No.
So I'm like, well, it's and you're trying to describe it. It got known as a windy app of an adult nature. Which takes me through to a book today.
I was just
going
to say that takes us through to a book.
You know the Kindle books that are free? There's always 100 Kindle books that are free. So I have a bookmark for it and I go and have a look at it every couple of days. Well, because the children are being educated at home at the moment, and when I say educated, allegedly, there's a lot of books for children. Some of them are educational, like times tables, stuff like that. So I'm looking down the list of books. I'm trying to find it because it's moved now. It was Eddie, wasn't it? It was called Eddie. Tell me it was on page 2. Where's Eddie? I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Right. So it's next to like how to calculate in mathematics. And there's this book that's clearly a child's book. It's a storybook, the kind that they would, you know, read at reading time. I looked at it and I couldn't see the subtitle. I could see the title, but underneath it, there was like a dash and then there was a subtitle. And when I zoomed in and I'd look at it, I said to Mike, is it a wonder we've got children with mental health issues? The book is called Stinky Eddie, The Monster That Farts. And this is in children's education. It's free, so I could actually download it and have a read. But, you know, really? It's toilet humour, that, isn't it, Mike?
It is.
And we had enough of that yesterday. Oh, crying out loud. Yes, oh yes. So if you are in the market, you know, if you're thinking, I know what I'll do, expand my reading during lockdown. There you go. Stinky Eddie. Stinky Eddie is what you need. And I'm going to get Stinky Eddie and send it to my Oasis and have a laugh. Stinky Eddie. In fact, there's a whole series of these things, but they're not all like that. There's another one that my aunt is an alien. My principal is a vampire. The monsters that took over my school. The monsters that followed me home from school and the monster who moved in. All together with the monster that farts. Can you see why I do worry about the future of the entire world? Right, I've got it. I'll have a look at it and see what we think. Honestly, my mum would have gone bold at the thought of a book like that. She'd have got me the maths book. I know my mother. That's why I was red hot at maths. What else was on there? I think the other stuff was like reasonably normal stuff. History books. Some very dodgy 50 Shades rip-offs. But so many books for homeschooling. Predominantly maths and English. But at least it's a start. If you've got access to a device and you have the free Kindle app, then it's a lot of free material for people. Believe it was... Oh, hang on. Right, here we go. I'm going up one. My eldest was asked to design a book cover by a friend of his about a smelly boy who never washed. I believe it was actually published. It wouldn't surprise me. Let's have a look. It's probably in the children's section, isn't it? I would have thought. There are no words for the... Mind you. A lot of these are self-published, aren't they? But I don't actually know if that one is self-published. Let's have a look. Who is publishing that? Is it a publisher? 19 pages. Won't take you long, will it? Age level 4 to 8.
Is this the 40 1 to 4.
This is the Windy book, Mike. The Windy book. Shall we see what the reviews say about the Windy book? Oh, 5 stars. Our grandson thinks this is brilliant, especially the rude parts. Because, you know, that's like a really good thing to teach a child, isn't it? Our grandchildren, aged 2, 4 and 5, loved it. The grandkids sat and listened with tons of giggles. It sure held their attention. My 6-year-old loved it. He laughed for a day over the fart jokes. I gave it 4 stars because it made him want to read more. And to me, that's what it's about. And another one said, another great book for kids, for tutoring kids. They enjoyed it so much. But, you know, they'll probably also enjoy 15 Mars bars, but it's probably not the best idea to give them 15 Mars bars. So, you know, why don't you read something to them that's got a little bit more intellect involved than a monster that farts? Do you think I'd run a school far too strict?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'd come out able to read and write, wouldn't they?
Hmm.
And not find Windy jokes particularly humorous. This is why I'm not a teacher. Not of children, anyway. No patience. No patience. I think there's quite a few like that. Didn't Rupert Grint appear in... I think it was a series. It could have been a film or a series. Let's have a look at Rupert Grint. And then I'll find... Because he was definitely in it. I want to say it was a TV series. Internet Movie Database. Rupert Grint. Didn't he call his kid Wednesday? She's quite an unusual name. Apart from Wednesday in the Addams Family. Wednesday Addams. Right, there we go. Rupert Grint. It would be a while back. He's done quite a bit, hasn't he?
Wednesday Grint.
Wednesday Grint. It's an unfortunate name, isn't it? No, we've got all his Harry Potter. There we go. Thunderpants. You can guess what that's about. Let's have a look. Was it a book or a series or a film? Good grief, look at the age of him. That's criminal. You'll never guess who directed that, Mike. Thunderpants, it looks like a film. Peter Howitt, who played Joey Boswell in Bread. Which we know Simon knows because he said he had... God, what's the dad called? Hair Maximus.
Oh, yeah.
Who else was in that? Stephen Fry.
Yes.
Celia Imrie. Got a heck of a cast in it. Ned Beatty. An absolute amazing cast. Ah, that's interesting. One of the characters in it is played by Victor Maguire, who was also in Bread. And Leslie Phillips was in it. Leslie Phillips is still going, isn't he? Is he about 104?
Freddie Boswell.
Freddie Boswell, that's him, Freddie. That's very true, Tracy. He is, good grief, he's 97, Leslie Phillips, and still going. Wow. He's actually still working as well. He's got something in post-production at 97. That's amazing. That's amazing. The things that I remember, like Thunderpants. Are you grumbly? Are you grumbly? I love the way she stops making a noise the second you look at her. And then starts again the second you look away. Who's a crazy girl? Right. You should have had a mail. You sent that earlier today, didn't you?
Yeah.
For tomorrow. Excellent. I had a heck of a night, didn't I, last night, Mike?
When my
demo wouldn't work. So when Mike got up, there I was seething with my demo. However... Oh. Beat it into submission with a stick and a dirty hack. So I will be able to show exactly what I wanted to show because I get very grumpy when I know exactly what I want to show and I can't show it because it's not working properly. And I have to test stuff like, is it because it's the Mac version and not the Windows version? So then I have to switch machines and then I find, no, it's not that. And then I have to get down to the level of actually looking inside a file, looking at the bare bones code of the file to actually work out what's wrong with it. when it should have been a 5-minute job turned into about a 4-hour job. Anyway, it's done, so I will be able to show you that. So that's the good news. She's still grumbly, isn't she, even though you're fussing her? She's a grumbly hound. But she's not as bad as she was last week. Hi, girl. And she's letting Daddy actually rub her all over, aren't you? Look at that. Oh, you should tell them about the people you met at the park. And when I say met, I mean like viewed from a distance. Yeah. While being grumbly. Yeah. As grumbly as the dog.
Yeah.
Can I
use that microphone?
There you go.
Yeah. I went to the park. Well, I didn't go to the park with Lola. I went near the park with Lola. And there was about 4 or 5 people. Not kids. Adults. There was a couple of kids with them. And they obviously knew each other. They were either friends or family, but hadn't seen each other since before Christmas, because they all started hugging and wishing each other Happy New Year.
I can just imagine Mike's incredulity as he ran off in the opposite direction very quickly.
And thinking, I must remember that one from a room.
What is wrong with these people?
Yes.
I was thinking that the people that were causing the problems were the ones who were deliberately, you know, anti-maskers and don't believe it's real. But I think actually the biggest problem is people who, they can't see COVID. Therefore, they don't see a danger. So they see their friends and it's like, oh, Happy New Year! And then they're hugging and whatever before they even think about it. Not a mask in sight. So I'm not surprised Mike ran off in the opposite direction pretty swift. It is utterly ridiculous. People are brainless. Brainless. Oh, and you know, I always like to pass on the daily death rate. The daily death rate is delayed due to a processing issue. I said to Mike, massaging the figures, are we? Because, you know, if it's now 8 minutes to 8, so it's missed the 6 o'clock news greatly. If they don't get it out within the next hour and 10, it'll miss the 10 o'clock, in which case it won't be made much of a fuss of. So that says to me the daily death rate, not good. Because how long does it take to calculate? If you know the infection figure, how can you not really know the death figure? But we don't have a death figure yet. Oh, Tracy likes Friday's lineup. Excellent. Hope you feel the same way this time tomorrow, or even later this time tomorrow. You always put a mask on to hug your daughter-in-law when she arrives or leaves to go back into Barcelona. I just think, like we've always said, it's a courtesy, isn't it? And I know these people know each other, but we've seen that quite a lot because we're on the corner of a road. It's like a really wide pavement, so people kind of congregate. And, you know, initially they're like 2 metres apart, but before you know it, they're right next to each other and yakking away for 20 minutes. And you think there's something wrong with you guys. Like at the beginning when we went out for the clap for carers and our neighbour comes across and wants to pet the dog. I am looking at Mike like, get the dog inside.
They always want to pet the dog.
Yes, I know, but not in the middle of a global pandemic.
Mm.
It's just, what isn't firing in their brain? I mean, they are, he must be 70 if he's a day, probably more now.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had cancer, so he's quite vulnerable. At this stage, there wasn't a vaccine, so it's not like he's had the vaccine. Oh, talking of the vaccine, funny one about the vaccine, isn't there? Just goes, they're just mad. They've now got chemists giving it. Yes, these are pharmacists who have never seen a patient ever. They're now giving injections. So you rock up to your local pharmacy. The nearest one to us for reference, Mike, is Michaelsfield.
Oh.
So that's like 20-odd miles away. 22, 23 miles away. So we won't be going there anytime soon. But they've got it on the TV and they're telling you all about that. Then there's these mass vaccination centres that I also don't fancy. Far too many ill people around. But our second priest, so the visiting priest that does visit here quite a lot, actually, he's been holed up in a monastery in Solihull, which is near Birmingham, since this started, because he's vulnerable. He must be in his 70s now, late 70s.
Yeah, he probably is.
Must be in his late 70s, and he's in the third group of vulnerability, which is he's asthmatic. He also had some other thing wrong with him, didn't he? So he's having treatment for that. Anyway, he's been down there and they'd arranged, because of this 5-day thing over Christmas, he would come up and do half the masses. And I said to Mike, but, you know, not being vaccinated, it's not wise in his condition. Anyway, then they changed the Christmas rules. You could only come for one day. Anyway, he came up anyway. He heads back down there. Then somebody dies and he's got that to deal with, actually in the monastery. Anyway, he gets a call. He's got his vaccination. This was Tuesday. So he staggers out the monastery, having not left the place apart from coming up here for Christmas for one day. He leaves the monastery and he has to get all the way into his doctor's surgery in the pouring rain, 9 o'clock in the morning. So he turns up. They sit him down. They check all his details and tell him. And the wording was really weird. Let me get the actual wording, what they actually said to him. Because I thought I'd never heard of wording like that. It wasn't exactly that friendly, I didn't think. Right, there's the newsletter. Right. I was due to receive the vaccination this morning, which was Tuesday, through a telephone conversation last week. It offered me an appointment at a local medical centre and I had a follow-up date in April for the second jab. However, when I got there, due to a bureaucratic mix-up somewhere down the line, I was rejected when I turned up for the appointment. Inquiries as to why this has happened have not been successful to date, except I've been told by the surgery that the vaccine team will telephone me. Today, tomorrow, next week, I've no idea. I wasn't given a number to ring them. So it's all going swimmingly well then. That's a problem with turning up first thing in the morning. They can afford to turn you away. If it was the last appointment of the day, there is like another queue, which is you can just join this queue. And if they've got any vaccine left at the end of the day, because people haven't turned up and it has to be used, then you can go in that queue. But then you're risking the fact that, you know, there's another load of COVID idiots waiting in the queue for the vaccine. And you could have caught it by the time you've got the vaccine. So not going well on the priest front at the moment. He was hoping to be back down here sooner rather than later, but not happening.
Sarah's talking about Superdrug doing vaccinations, and she says, I don't know what your super drug's like, but it's not what I would call a pharmacy. They do eyebrows though. And that reminds me, I mean, I haven't been in Superdrug since before March, but yeah, there was a chair there right by the door and people would get their eyebrows done in Sale.
There are no words. The R rate's worse, so the governor's opening things up. Maybe he should be first to test these things. Oh, Kim's Pharmacy always give vaccines. I do believe they give out flu vaccines, but I've never bothered with the flu vaccine, so I don't know. But it's not something that's like done on a regular basis. So you're back to the fact that why are we bothering getting qualified doctors and nurses and putting them through training courses if, you know, Maud in the local shop, the local pharmacy who does a bit of eyebrow plucking, is going to be giving you your jab. They've also got another area that you have to sit for 20 minutes, make sure you're all right, which sounds grand, doesn't it? That sounds like a really logical thing to do. And I just looked and I thought, one, it looked completely unhygienic. But the second thing was, right, so let's say that you're not okay. Let's say you start foaming at the mouth. What are they going to do about it? Go to the shelf and get a baby wipe and clean it up. Because they're not medically qualified. So how would they know what was even wrong with you? So what's the point? Ludicrous. If and when this finally happens, can I have somebody who's qualified and knows what they're actually talking about? I've still got Pete as top of my list. We're probably a little bit far away, aren't we? Mind you, I'm prepared to travel. I am prepared to travel. Obviously, when it's allowed and the rest of it. Oh, now Tracy wouldn't find it strange, usually private patients. No, I think we've got about 5 chemists around us and none of them do that kind of stuff. They might ask you, you know, you've got 2 drugs here, that's contraindicated with that, and that's about it beyond that. Kim's Pharmacy is Costco. Do we have a pharmacy at Costco?
Don't know.
Got the optician, haven't we? I don't think we do. There's an optician at Costco. Other than that. And Sarah's Superdrug's so small. That's the point. The aisles are only wide enough for one person and no one was following the one-way system. You wouldn't go there for a vaccine. I must admit, what they did have that I thought was a good idea in this one on the news was they had transparent panels between the seats. So because, like you're saying, the stores are not big, actually, there's a lot of free retail space at the moment, but because these stores aren't that big, they couldn't put the chairs 2 metres apart. So they put in like this perspex wall, which I thought was actually a good idea. And to be honest, should be there all the time. Even when, you know, in the end of there's a no pandemic situation. If you're in there and you're waiting for a prescription, by definition, you're probably ill. So to have that extra protection, I think it's a good idea. But it's only for the COVID thing. Kim's still holding on for that one shot vaccine. It'll come eventually. I'm waiting for the... We've tested it on X number of people, but now we've tested it on 3 million. We're finding out that there's a problem. Because, you know, the way Britain goes on, I can well see that happening. Right. Well, what is a better use of doctors and nurses' time, looking after patients or vaccinating, when someone who was duly instructed could do it? But duly instructed... I've got multiple problems with that. I could show somebody technically how to build a computer, but would I actually let them do it? It's that kind of thing. Duly instructed means that it will be fine 99% of the time. It's the 1% where there is a contraindication that they've missed, or they've got an air bubble in it or something, because they are not qualified. So I'm quite prepared to wait. Don't rush with mine. I am more than prepared to wait. But I'm not going into Superdrug for it, I can assure you. It'll be those Superdrugs that have a dispensing chemist and not the ones that are cosmetic pound savers. How is this a cosmetic pound saver? You're quite right, Simon. So I don't think there would be anywhere... They wouldn't have the storage capabilities or anything like that. But I don't think I've ever seen one that's a dispensing chemist. Like Sarah says, they must be... rarer than hen's teeth. Who knows? Duly instructed and with a medical based background like chemists or vets, Tracy, or vets like Mrs. Pete. Because if you can inoculate a wriggling kitten, you'll probably manage with me. Bigger area to hit. But it's the people who are volunteering who think they're going to be injecting people because they're some kind of psychopath that I've got a problem with. Stories will come out about this down the line. I can see it. But, you know, if vets are doing that, then you've got to wonder who's looking after the pets. It's ridiculous. They're not going to roll out vaccines from Superdrug based just on the name. But then, well, Simon, you say that. Can I just say one word to you? Boris. The man is a blundering fool. Ask Pete how much instruction he was given for giving shots. You had one afternoon and just gave 3 shots with an instructor watching. Well, there's that aspect of it. But, you know, my logic is that if you've been a doctor or a nurse for a while, then the experience comes after the initial training. But there's no scope for anything here. Plus the fact, at the moment, it is chaotic. I mean, how are you turning away somebody in their late 70s with an underlying condition after you rang them to book the appointment? He then goes up there, risking not only life and limb travelling with it snowing, but the freezing cold when he's already got an underlying condition and they turn him away. And that's just on the logistics side, without getting down to the actual giving an injection. Oh dear, 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 dear. We're just idiots in the UK. Mark my words, there'll be horror stories. They'll come out soon. They will, honestly. Anthony saw a thing on Facebook that said we need more doctors and nurses. If not, we'll have to start using vets. And you've seen how they take temperatures. They don't mess about to vets, do they? No, they're straight in there. Oh, Simon says, I think they will have one fully trained doctor working as the head of each team. It surely won't be just a bunch of YTS people. Well, Simon, you say that, but can I just say, Boris, You know, it was going to be like, we'll send a food parcel and look how well that went. So don't ever say that. Don't ever even think that. Look, with the British government, whoever is in power, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Spectacularly. So all the stories will come out down the line. But everybody just seems to be clambering over everybody at the moment for one. And I just think there are people in way more need than I am. So let them get to the head of the queue. But to turn away somebody who is clinically vulnerable in a category three after you've called him in, that's just gross incompetence. But that's what you expect. It's what I expect anyway. Anyway, we are going to head off and prepare for tomorrow. Make sure that everything is going to go swimmingly, she said. But that's the plan anyway. So I'm going to say for the moment, good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.